We are now being recorded, and it must be because it's 7 o'clock and it's Wednesday night, and it seems to happen that they record us every Wednesday night at 7. They show up, Jana Hart. It is scary. They're in the back room, in the dungeon, recording us. With the equipment, the electronic equipment is being used to record us.
Thank goodness. That means my lack of memory is being amplified in some other fashion. Very grateful for the recording.
No, what it means is that your lack of what? What was it again?
Yeah, that too.
It won't be an issue. The anything that we forget at all at this point during the evening, Jana has the answer to it.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jana.
Thank you very much.
That's okay.
That's probably as good
as long as you keep the answer.
Probably as good an answer as there is.
Is there anybody on yet? He's on a whole other page.
Dan is there.
He's in his home. I'm on. 5 viewers. There are more than that here.
Wow. I carry a view from the inside as well as the behind, the head view. You guys ever walk around with the behind the head view?
I have.
It's the behind the head view, you know? You get that little antennae and beep, 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 beep. Sometimes it's on the crown, but I can't usually walk around when that's happening.
It goes straight up.
Yeah, straight up. You know, I'm going to say it tonight. Welcome to the ABD guidebook. We're here again, or maybe for the first time, and it is week number 49. And we are still happily engaged in the fantastic 16th book of the dead called the Book of Ur-Basit. Now, our other guest is manifesting through the ethers this evening. Ivan is not physically here with us. But if we just call on him, you know, together, like, we can get him here.
So this is really for the recording.
Of course it's for the recording.
We're doing this for the recording.
Yes.
And what I suggest, since we're starting from some form of basic ignorance, is that we just work our way, we read a few verses and jump to where you want us to wind up that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
That would be great.
And that'll give us the context of where we're at. And it's okay. It's okay what we're doing. We don't have to have a properly honed academic study every night, you know? We're okay. So we're going to do it this way this evening. A little bit is like catch as catch can.
Before we begin that, I just wonder if other folks are kind of in the same place with this book that you and I are, which is we're in the middle of it, but we may not be exactly where we left off last week, or maybe some of us have even gone ahead. So if we could have a show of hands by folks typing into the chat and saying, yes, I read book 16 this week, or I read ahead, or I'm just catching up, or no, I haven't read it at all. Just kind of fill us in on, you know, where we are together. Not that it's going to make any difference in what we're going to do, but I think it'd be nice to have it in the, what are we doing? Recording.
Yeah, the recording.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, the recording.
Okay, that's okay, but just remember stuff.
Yeah.
All right, but where we're going to start is, we're going to start in verse 40.
Yes.
It'll give us an interesting context. And let's just start there and see what happens, okay?
Yes.
40. And may the six syllables close the doors of rebirth in the world of the gods the world of the jealous gods, the world of the hungry ghosts, the world of the humans, the world of brutes, and the hell world also. 41. And when I am exposed and unprotected in the world of transit, and I have been stripped of willpower in the material mind, and I am compelled to follow the tendencies of my past karma, may the compassionate ones of grace protect me and lift me up into liberation.
42, and when I must suffer the miseries of habitual actions and beliefs, may the blissfulness of the luminous endless void dawn upon me and lift me up into spiritual consciousness. And may the five primal elements of consciousness not appear to me as enemies to fear. And may I not see them as things to fear, and may I not seek refuge from them in the worlds of rebirth.
Jumping ahead to 47.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who have meditated during their lifetime, these illusions that occur at the moment of death and afterward are soon overcome. And the perfect truth dawns upon them at the moment of leaving the world of matter and entering into the world of the spirit. What a great line.
And isn't that a wonderful instruction?
Let's go over it again. And for those who have meditated during their lifetime, these illusions that occur at the moment of death and afterward are soon overcome. And the perfect truth dawns upon them at the moment of leaving the world of matter and entering into the world of the spirit. So, perfect truth dawns.
It does. And if we move now into 50, line 50, and the meditation. Okay.
Well, we're having a very, very good time here.
We're going to...
On the recording.
We're going to record.
So we've been told that the broadcast has been broken because of something that Dan did, I think. I'm not sure. But
no, it was that illumination that just occurred. It got too much for the electronic system here.
And the perfect truth dawns upon them.
It did.
It dawned upon us and broadcast
here
on
we
us.
Are.
So we're continuing. We're just talking away here. It doesn't matter.
And we're probably up now. Is that right? Oh, well, then I'm just going to carry on because the catching up part is never an issue.
Right. So, that's correct.
So the meditation that was being referenced, for those who have meditated during their lifetime, that was verse 47. In verse 50 it says, and the meditation on a living reality of the pure and perfect truth of spirit. When living in the world, shall cause them to be liberated without pain and without fear while in the world of transit. Okay, we're stopping for
George,
a moment.
George, it looks like the broadcast is...
It has. It's been buffering, you know, it buffered for about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and then it said a notice came up, a broadcast ended, retry. So I clicked the retry button, and it's still in the process of buffering. So we can hear you, we can't hear you.
They're going to bring it into a new server now, so it'll take a minute or two for them to try that. And then it'll come back up. We'll let you know, okay? Meantime, we can say all the important secret stuff, okay?
Hey, well, let's share the secrets fast before everybody else gets on the line.
You're up.
Okay, Deanna, what's the secret word for the... Ulbasit.
And platypus.
And platypus.
Pardon?
If you say the secret word, what you win is your own opportunity.
So the secret word is platypus, Dan, and you have to use it in a sentence in a proper manner while you're telling us what somebody has written into the log.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear. The log probably won't have the answer to the secret word. So, George?
Yes.
Do you have a way to use platypus in a real sentence?
As in, I ate my platypus for dinner last night?
Oh.
No, that's not a proper sentence. So Plato and a platypus
walked into a bar.
Platypus and Plato walked into a bar one night, and they ordered a couple of drinks, and the bartender served them.
Yes.
And the bartender started wondering after a while, because here's this guy in a toga and a platypus, and he says, "Hey, who's going to pay for this?" And the platypus looks up and he says, "Oh, don't worry, put it on my bill."
Uh-oh.
Yep. You guys are back on the air.
Well, that's perfect, because we're going to once again reiterate that verse 50 gives the instruction as the meditation that is referenced in verse 47. And here it is again, 50. And the meditation on the living reality of the pure and perfect truth of spirit when living in the world shall cause them to be liberated without pain and without fear while in the world of transit. Now that is a contractual arrangement, is it not? If you can do this while you are living in the world, it will cause you to be liberated in the world of transit without pain and without fear. That's very specific.
Can you read that again?
Yeah.
Yes. 50. And the meditation on the living reality of the pure and perfect truth of spirit when living in the world shall cause them to be liberated without pain and without fear while in the world of transit.
So let's talk about that for just a second. So what do you think it means? Meditation on the living reality of the pure and perfect truth of spirit. The living reality.
Well, it's not a dead concept. It is not something that you are going to make up.
So the living reality.
It's going to be something that
of the pure and perfect truth.
Exact.
Of spirit.
Yes. Truth of spirit. Would imagine that implies that the veils have all fallen from your eyes, that you see, that you have no distance between the truth of spirit and yourself.
George.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you know, as we're studying all of this material, There are a couple of things, of course. I have a couple of orientation points for myself. One, of course, is the thought that EJ has expressed. We have to die before we die, in which case we will have experienced the spirit before we physically exhaust ourselves, and in that liberation of awareness of our spirit as an independent functioning entity, of course we will explore the world the world of the spirit while we're still alive. So then the next question that arises, that sounds a little mysterious or complicated or unclear. Could you explain it again? So EJ explains it again when he says something like, underneath the dominant electrical field of the physical body is a finer, a more refined electrical field, which he calls the essence, but which in this book earlier, like maybe book 4 or 5 or 6, was referred to as the Kestian body. So to my way of thinking, as we try to separate our perception of our essential self from what we take to be our ordinary physical self, we're educating our essential self. We're doing two things. We're doing three things. One is we're trying to reinvigorate the atrophy that has set in on the essential self. So we have to, it's a muscle, we have to strengthen it. Once we've strengthened that muscle so that we begin to perceive it as an independent part of ourselves, then we have to educate it. And what we're educating it to is the world of the spirit, which it already is a natural part of, but it's impinged upon by all of this. Well, these five primal components of human consciousness, which is what EJ calls it, you know, things like space and form and feeling and sensation. I mean, these things are not real in the spirit world, but in order for us to orient ourselves, you know, in sequential time, of course they become very important. So as I read 50, the meditation of the living reality of the pure and perfect truth of the spirit when living in the world shall... Well, that says, okay, this is our essential self exercising itself as a muscle, participating in a world that's completely that's an inherent part of the essence. It's like a little baby that's just been born. It takes a while for the essence to orient itself to this bigger world that it doesn't quite comprehend yet, but over time it does. And then we begin to see how our ordinary consciousness, based on these five primal components of human consciousness, impinge upon that and disturb what would otherwise just be the clear luminous void. But, you know, it takes a lot of meditation over a long period of time to see all that for oneself, or to experience that for oneself.
But it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, George, too. Because if we can meditate on it during our physical lifetime and it starts to get stronger, then the dependence on the sensations in the mechanical body become less important, and in a sense we die to the world and are alive to spirit.
And if I could just say, you know, every one of these words that we invariably, use, like self-remembering, self-observation, as I've come to see most clearly over the last, you know, several months or so, okay, there's the self-remembering of the ordinary personality, you know, us going through sequential time. We're trying to remember that. We're trying to self-remember that, hey, I'm composed of two different parts. Okay, that's great, and that's where we begin. But where we want to end up is where the essential self itself remembers itself.
There you go.
or self-observation, yes, you know, we want to kind of observe, boy, did I get angry? Did I, you know, spill my coffee? Did I do this? Did I do that? That's self-observation. But what we want to do is get to the other end of the spectrum where the essential self itself is saying, hey, I'm the clear luminous void, and what's going on around me and what's impinging upon my ability to remain here in the clear light, you know? So, and that's why at the end of 50, we would find that if we're successful in these efforts, we'd be liberated without pain and without fear while in the world of transit, because hell, we've been on this trip dozens of hundreds of times before, and that's what I think EJ is able to do that fascinates us so much, even if he doesn't explain it quite this way.
Yeah, no, I think you're correct about this. The explanation is exactly right. The phrase that kept coming to me as you were speaking was awareness of the awareness of self, which is, you know, it's not specifically given there. It's the words are used and the meditation on, which if you get into, you know, the processes of meditation, it's not thinking, so we've been there. It's not self-awareness of the thoughts. It's way past that. So when you're talking about the meditation on the living reality, you're already into a realm that is not related to the physicality or the materialness of the individual. It has to be the other part. How can you get to the other part? You have to have developed with, like as George says, time in essence manifest. And that growth is only possible in form.
And by the way, if I could just remind us, you know, again, at the beginning of all these books, you know, it talked about the body of a body of habits, and one of the things that, you know, EJ points out in Psyche and Personality, Psyche and Essence, you know, in Lost Works, is that our essence actually in its primal pure form is comprised of 18 basic habits, which ultimately, as we go down the involutionary scale into the material world, become distorted and bent, and so we become products of our own karma, so to speak. And at the beginning of each of these books, as we're, you know, being introduced to whoever the particular speaker is, we're being reminded of, this would be a normal habit of our essence if we were fully developed and functioning properly. And then, of course, suddenly, you know, if we're all loving, well, that's, and our, if our essence is aware of itself as all loving, and that everything it lays its eyes upon is illusion, I mean, it's real for us in the material world, but from the point of view of the essence, oh, it's all illusion, because it's nothing more than degraded light moving at the slowest and densest possibility, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Thank you. Very, very good. Thank you, Joyce.
Very, very complete.
So we were talking about gaming at dinner, and a couple of things about gaming. And sometimes a particular act in gaming is very, very hard. And then after you've done it a lot, you can find your way back to the victory. Does this make sense? Do you remember any of the gamers that have done that, have experienced that over and over and over again? There's the first time you meet Diablo, there's the feeling, there's no way I can defeat this character. It's impossible. But then after time, it's been in a lot, you realize you can develop a simple strategy and to get through that. In the same way, part of this concept in this particular verse is you get reminded of how to get back to the place.
Mm-hmm.
So you do it over and over again, and will that be your response when you're in the midst of transit? You respond by going to the place that you learned.
Right. And the instructions for that are quite simple. If you are building a habit, you have to do it repeatedly. And if you are replacing a habit, you have to do it deliberately. So the next verse actually speaks right to that.
Go.
51. And so one should read this book and hold to it. And one should perform this service for others and commit this book to memory and bear it in mind continually. And one should recognize the pure truth of spirit while in life and allow the meaning of the truth of spirit to form within you, and it should be formed so that even if 100 executioners were pursuing you, it would not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is so apt a description of some of the game moves and some of the game strategy. And this was written in 1974. So it has mm-hmm. a certain knowingness in the language we use today about gaming. The knowingness at this time was about memory and carrying it in mind. And if we think about the instruction of perform this service for others, it's a three-part view.
Mm-hmm.
Read it, hold it, and perform it for others and commit it to memory. And the way mental stratus works, if I'm doing it for others, it gets committed to memory. I'm not memorizing it. It's going there because it's going out for the other. So it's not for me. It's just, it gets played. So it's there. It's in its place. So it gets, comes from there. And it's one of those daily participatory activities. You don't set it down. You always carry it with you.
Well, and it's this, and commit this, read this book and commit this book to
yes.
memory.
Yes.
It's the kind of practice that if one did, and did it in service to others, it would start to become part of your genetics, part of your
yes.
electrical signature.
Exactly.
And I think that's what
gets laid into the core.
Over and over and over again. So in gaming, you'd say muscle memory.
Muscle memory.
Right? To jump and turn and shoot at the same time. And you learn to do that.
You want to do 52?
Yeah. Because that's the very
yes.
that goes right on.
Yeah, it just goes
52.
Right on.
And this teaching is called The Great Liberation by Hearing. Because even those who have committed the five unforgivable sins, the sin of patricide, the sin of matricide, the sin of setting two religious assemblies at war with each other, the sin of killing a saint, and the sin of causing blood to flow from the body of a holy person, are certain to be liberated if they hear this teaching and are able to follow it in sincerity and humility. Fascinating.
Well, it's giving the specifics of grace.
Keep going.
53. Therefore, read this book in the midst of vast congregations. Read it to heal the sick and the dying. Read it to instruct the elderly. Read it for the dead or dying, even if they reject it during life or in transit. They will know it as the truth. And they will desire spiritual consciousness and liberation in the void may still be theirs.
54. Therefore, disseminate this book. Even though one bears it only once.
No.
Excuse me.
It's that HB thing.
Even though one hears it only once, even though he has no comprehension in life or of what the meaning is, during the state of lucid clarity of the transit stages, it will be remembered and understood, and not a word will be omitted, for the consciousness in the state of transit becomes lucid and clear in the purity of the spiritual consciousness in transit.
Now, I'm just going to give a little biographical story here. Many years ago, my mother stayed with us when we had one of our institute residences where the Gateway's offices were, and they had just completed a new addition. Now, my mother is a very strict, literal reader of words, and she's been hired by fairly literary competent folks to do proofreading. And I asked her to proofread our version, the new upcoming version of the American Book of the Dead. I think you had just moved there. Up at Greenhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of a few references that were not familiar to her, she, of course, read the text through and didn't find any typos, and I think there were a few suggested word changes which were agreed to. But, you know, I have my methods. My mother has read this book through cover to cover at least once.
Mm-hmm.
With all of her alertness and awareness that she applies when she's proofreading.
Well, that's how it, and that's what the verses continue.
That's what it says.
Yeah, therefore disseminate this book in however you can.
That's right.
55, and this book should be proclaimed mm-hmm. to all living persons.
Yes.
56, and this book should be read
mm-hmm.
over the pillows of all who are ill with fevers.
Mm-hmm.
57, and this book should be read to those who are troubled.
Yes.
And 8, and it should be read at the sight of all corpses and
broadcast
through all nations in the material world.
Yeah, I think we can get one of those channels online and just, you know, keep it going 24/7.
Well, that is a technique. And
absolutely.
If you read look at what Mark is doing in the ashram sometimes.
Yeah.
He'll read that Hindu goddess thing. He'll read the Hindu goddess thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And in the same way, doing that this is a form of work. You'll be reading this or the red ABD.
Oh, yes.
And you just read it over and over and over again. Becomes second nature to us, and therefore we're ready to help people because we can notice things.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can notice things and therefore be there for that person.
Yes. Put
I didn't hear you.
Put the thing on the phone to your mouth.
It's called, I believe, the Divine Mother Chant.
You mean what Mark?
Well, yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
As an instructional technique.
Yeah.
This particular chamber, book 16, describes methods of meditation, methods of instruction, methods of hearing, methods of reading, methods of memorization. I mean, this particular book has so much specific data, actual how-to-do-it data, where all the other books have the data, but it is not couched as cleanly as this is. This is obviously written to people, whereas some of the other texts really are written to spirit, you know, 60.
Right.
And for those who have accumulated merit and who have absolved their sins, it shall be open to them to find it and follow it. That, to me, is not very clear. I don't take that as, like, I could follow that easily. But if I read 59, and for those who meet this teaching even once, it will be salvation for them if they are able to perform its instruction. Well, that's pretty clear. People should get the opportunity to hear it at least once, or read it at once. Yeah.
But by the way, that, not to poke fun at your mom, but that last, she must have overlooked that last word in verse 59.
Yeah, you know what? I saw that also, but I just wanted to say that this particular version, the copyright is 2009.
Oh.
And this is the guidebook, and my mom was reading the red ABD, and it was, oh goodness, 84 or but 5.
We should still circle that word.
Oh, I've turned this one in. I turned that one in, yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Instructaton.
Thanks for pointing it out.
Instructaton.
Okay,
yes. So just to repeat, that the instructions in this particular book are so precise, relevant,
yeah,
and immediately usable.
So in 60, he says, those who have accumulated merit.
Mm-hmm.
61, he says, and or but to those who have sinned,
mm-hmm,
and who are filled with desires and aggressions, they should not find it, except they are led to it by those who act in spirit.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
If we act in spirit, we can still be a guide to somebody. And if they bear, they hear it, they shall hear it not. Except they shall hear it not. If they hear it, they shall hear it not. Except their hearts are open and they hear in spirit instructions of the teaching. They don't have to understand it. They can be loaded with negative karma. But if they hear with an open heart, even, they will get the teaching.
Well, all of the instructions about those who are living in sin or those who have sinned or who are filled with desires and aggressions, it has always the preclusion if they are in spirit. It can still
work.
Be done. It can still work.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the last line of 63, and may they lead the sinners into the spirit that they may also witness to the teaching. So it's actually given a description that even if you haven't been exposed, if you be witness to it. Yeah, so, you know, when you stand in a confront with somebody and you're in full, I am here, this is God's face, and I will love presence, you give the other the opportunity to be there also without requiring anything. And may they lead the sinners into the spirit that they may also witness to the teaching. 64. And, therefore, treat this teaching very dearly. It is the crown of all teachings, the very essence of spiritual consciousness. Well,
I mean, do you think, can you see the and you see the author writing this, and he gets so imbued with what's coming through, and it's so clear and distinct, and he's going, wow.
Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
You know.
I proclaim, this is the essence of spiritual consciousness. What are you seeing over there, Dan?
And Laura says, "She, thank you to Pat for her very descriptive passage earlier." And Glossy's asking, "Where in the book are we, please?"
After the 16th book of the dead, called the Book of Ur-Basit.
We just got to page 63.
And we're like verse 64. We've been working with two themes this evening. One of them has to do with how the book is referenced in this text, and you should read it, and where to read it, and to whom to read it. And the other one has to do with the theme of spirit as part of the living truth of spirit, and how that interfaces with some of the other parts of what we've been working with in this book, specifically the body of habits. And does that get you caught up a little bit, Mark?
Yes, thank you.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So in the other text that we worked with before this one, the red ABD, the classic red ABD.
Yeah.
We had so many more books or chambers. Like the number was higher by this point. And we had more references to the different specific types of consciousness that mm-hmm. were being either evoked or displayed or twisted around, however, you know, whichever chamber it was. How is it that this text, and I'm specifically looking at book 16, which has 65 verses and ends with, and now the intermediate state of transit in which the five primal forms appear as guides has been completed. How is it that we have this instruction in this text in this manner and the Voyager has still been delivered all the, I'm not going to call it information, all the data needed to be voyaging through the transit spaces, but it's written differently. Have you pondered that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even actually know where the 49-day thing came from.
Okay, it's from the Tibetans.
Well, the Tibetan Book of the Dead itself does not have 49 chambers.
I know.
It's closer to this presentation.
I know.
So when he was investigating this, he was, first of all, he's able to penetrate
mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
He's able, so we're sitting here, we read some information and try to understand the truth. If you have a direct connectivity with the truth, then you're describing something
mm-hmm.
not trying to understand
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different
mm-hmm. the process.
Yeah, they're like a painter painting the same mountainscape. Very different. So I think that when he looked at it directly, he was looking at it, and this is just a different package of exactly the same thing he looked at.
Well,
This one speaks much more of that terminology of the spirit.
It also seems to me, because of the way the flow of the who is being spoken to in what way, that all the previous 15 books, you know, they have an entity that is defined as the configuration of that chamber. You know, one of the 99
Correct.
Names of God.
Yeah.
Which comes with it already evoking a certain qualities,
That's right.
certain resonances, and it's sort of like they have like this overview or an outline that's kind of setting inside all of those chambers. And when we get to 16, well, first of all, we never name Urabasit in the text. Did you notice that?
Well.
And we don't have anything that is specifically about the chamber in relation to the entity.
No, I thought this one said, I am he who
takes the souls of individuals at the time of death and places them into bodies
Correct.
Of conception. So it has a functionality.
Correct.
Yeah. And then it has this amazing, not to be sacrilegious, but this carnival show panoply of the
mm-hmm.
forms of the gods and the goddesses and the gatekeepers and the
mm-hmm.
doorways and on and on and on. It's like everything just all spilled out. And the end of this chamber has to do with finishing the intermediate stage.
Correct. Yeah.
And what is left?
The what?
Rebirth.
Now we're headed to rebirth. So
yeah.
he does his job.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
In 65 verses, rather than 10 chambers.
Right.
You know?
And I think that that's part of it, is it? See, there he was in the Red ABD, when I look at it from my point of view, he's following the travels of the Voyager.
Yes.
And he's saying these are the stages that occur, and I name those 49 chambers.
That's right.
In this, he starts with a different context. He
says,
here's this Godhead called Urabasit, and we're going to start there.
Yeah.
Now what? Now
yeah.
how do I apply this other material to it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has a different context, which gives him a different presentation mode. I think in a certain way the ABD regular is easier for him, for all of us, because we can say, now there's this experience, now there's this experience.
Yeah.
This is like we enter into this chamber of Urabasit.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're in there now. And you're in the last part of the transit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speculating.
And there's a lot going on. So did we get answers, Dan, about the who had completed reading this book or not yet read it?
Well, it got lost with the earlier chat, but I remember one answer saying that they were catching up and another saying that they had read the 16th book.
So that evens it out.
Yeah, and I'm just going to encourage people once again to, you know, take your copy of the book and sit with it and read it aloud, even if it's only to yourself. Because yourself is certainly worthy of being read to, even if it's only by yourself, to yourself, for yourself. and just add one more little element, which is anytime you read, you can always read on behalf of all beings everywhere, and Patricia Elizabeth, and Jana Hart, and David Frankel. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing a reading for yourself alone. And certainly reading it aloud will change your relationship to the text. It just does, and you need to experience that. So I'm encouraging people, before we wander in, and I really do mean wander at this time, because wandering is where we will be in the 17th book.
And that's part of our mode of transit, too.
Absolutely.
As nomads, you, in a certain way, wander. You have no home. You're wandering.
Yes.
But this is wandering with skill sets.
That's what we're opting for.
Yeah, so 17 is a clear delineation, and it's clearly in a different place all of a sudden. The Voyager, and now we will remember this when we, from our ABD Red reading, the next few, we'll get the tone of it.
Yes.
You know, when we...
And we'll be fortunate, because once we step in, we still have the overlay, I think that's an okay word to use, of the entity, one of the 99 names of God, one of the divine.
It is kind of intriguing.
Yeah, it's intriguing, and it is kind of a treat.
But to put it in this context of the Voyager treat, boy, did it give a whole new meaning to me. It's totally pragmatic meaning to these names of God. Instead of these giant principles, there's the principles in action as we were in the Voyager state. I just want to point out also that there are only 22 books.
Yeah.
We're about to enter 17,
yeah.
So there's five more.
No,
there's six.
Well,
we'll determine what to do. There's a big reading of the Sunday sermons.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the Sunday sermons when I was traveling. Nicely done.
Yes.
Nicely done.
We did reference the Sunday sermons at least, three times?
At least three.
Four times, yeah.
Yeah. The point of it is that in this book, there's kind of like a direct instruction being given. Read this book. Memorize this book. Read this book to others. Disseminate. Keep this book in mind over and over and over again. And anything done with persistence, a consistent discipline message, gets rooted into you. And this year we have the ability to do that.
Go ahead there, sir.
Grocki says, reading aloud is such a powerful practice. It is one of my practices.
Yeah, it very much is. If you ever go to his middle of the night, or I don't know when he's doing it now, if he's doing it at all, but I attended a couple of times when he was reading the...
Wonderful.
The goddess, I think it was the goddess, the mother,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that he was reading. He gets into a particular state in his reading that becomes... very inducing for us. Very good.
I think I asked last week about relating the passage through the chambers to the Tree of Life.
Did you finish that?
Not yet, but I just remembered that there are 22 books in this particular book, which are the number of pathways in the Tree of Life.
Oh. There are 22 or 21? 22?
22.
Wow.
The other thing that we can say about Urbasit is like all of the other named forms of God, there are qualities, radiations, emanations, attitudes, capacities, functionalities.
Pathways.
Yes, pathways. That's a very good word.
They create a pathway of a certain type.
Yeah. And as is my wont, since we're coming up near the end of this evening's gathering, I'm going to read in reverse, verse 65 and verse 1. Now the intermediate state of transit, in which the five primal forms appear as guides, has been completed. I am he who takes the souls of individuals at the time of death and places these souls into bodies. Conception of life in the world of matter. 16th Book of the Dead, called the Book of Urbasit.
Very nice, and just we're reminded over and over again in this particular book. Therefore, read this book in the midst of vast congregations. Disseminate this book, and this book should be read to those who are troubled. Should be read to sight of all corpses. This book should be read over the pillows of all who are ill. This book should be proclaimed to all living persons. And this book shall be read for those who meet the teaching even once. It will be salvation for them if they're able to perform its instructions. So, take it out on the road.
It does. I could get very vast congregations. Yes.
Well, you know, a lot of the religious practices have proselytizing
mm-hmm.
as a critical part of
yes,
their teaching.
Yes, as a major part.
Well, how are we doing?
I'm satisfied at the moment with where we are with George.
Yeah, very good, very good. I like that reading 65 and then verse 1. It really ties it all together.
Yeah.
Anything there, Dan, that we need to, that would be nice to cover or repeat? Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah.
And Jana. Marvette, Dan. Thank you, everyone, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7.